Welcome to War Eagle Weekly, every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. This show brought to you by Coach and Force Steakhouse, DeWitt D. Clark, Attorney at Law, and Sandpiper Services. Austin Price here in the studio with you as always, joined by my good friend and co-host, Bill Clark. Bill, War Eagle, and good morning, my friend.
War Eagle, good morning.
Yes, we've got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about. Might as well start with what's with some things that had a little bit of good and a little bit of bad. The Auburn basketball season is fully in full swing now.
Yeah.
We lost a close one to Houston. Even though it was played in Birmingham, it was considered a home game for Auburn.
Right.
So that Neville Arena North. Crowd was awesome. That was really a good basketball game. And Auburn had chances to win it. I kind of feel like Stephen Pearl was correct in, you know, saying that the last inbound with 2 seconds on the clock or whatever it was our shooter was fouled, but they didn't call it, so we didn't get a chance to go to the line and tie the game.
Right.
But still, you know, Auburn played great. You know, Houston's ranked number two. They're ranked number two for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn went toe-to-toe with them. And with it being a new squad, you know, Tahad Pettiford being the only returner from last year out of the starters in the starting rotation, they look good. They're well coached. Obviously, Stephen Pearl, you know, he coached so many years under his dad, so you know it's pretty much Pearl 2.0. I mean, it's not there's not that much difference in what you see on the court from what Bruce had on the court.
It's as close as you can get.
Yeah, it's just different players. But we have quite a few players that where we plugged them in the positions that were vacated. Obviously, all the positions except one. But our bigs are coming up. They're coming up big, you know, for lack of a better term. You know, it's kind of hard to fill the shoes of Jani Broome and Dylan Cardwell and those guys.
Sure.
Because they were marquee players. Nobody is the standout other than Keyshawn Hall, but he was injured in last night's game. They benched him because it let his foot and ankle heal. He rolled over on his ankle in the Houston game. So he didn't even play last night. So, I mean, you know, we've had two games since we did our last show.
Right.
Obviously, the game in Birmingham against Houston, 2-point loss, fantastic basketball game. It was very exciting to watch. You know, I got a little personal interest in what's going on with the Auburn basketball program myself anyway. My first cousin, his daughter is a senior at Auburn, and she's on the cheerleading squad. So she, the last couple of years, is on the number one cheerleading squad for the basketball team. So she travels a lot. So she's been getting a lot of TV time, which my family is super excited about. You know, we always we do our group text. You know, every time her face is on the TV, somebody snaps a shot of it, and everybody knows about it. So, you know, that's kind of a fun thing for me to be able to watch the ball games and know that you know, I've got some family that's there, and her mom and dad. They're both retired, and they follow her. Well, they're definitely following her around this year because it's her senior year. But aside from that, the performance of the basketball team. Stephen Pearl, I'm kind of glad to see in the Houston game he went away from the 1-3-1 defense and he went back more to a zone defense, and that made a difference. It limited their opportunities in the paint, which is exactly what you need to do with a physical shooting team like Houston. And then we played the game last night, and it was 112-66 over Jackson State.
Complete dismemberment.
Yeah. You know, but Auburn needed that. The Jackson State basketball team is winless. So it wasn't – I hate to say it because, you know, there's so many good things about Jackson State, but it was a complete mismatch.
Yeah.
You know, Auburn hung up 100 with, you know, like 5 minutes, 4 minutes left to go in the game, and they could have easily added another 10 or 15, but they brought in all the deep bench players, you know, late in the game. including that freshman we picked up, Walker. He was only on the floor for 8 minutes. He had 15 points and one rebound. He hit 5 straight 3-point shots.
And that really captures the whole mismatch you're talking about.
Well, and he's the third layer on the bench, you
right?
Know? So it was exciting to see some of the younger kids get a chance to get out there and play. It was also exciting to see Auburn bounce back from a heartbreaking, you know, loss. Because I mean, we were, as an Auburn guy, I really feel like we had the opportunity and had the team and the ability to beat Houston.
Oh, clearly.
So I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. It's kind of the same feel as what we had. The energy level and the feel around the team is almost identical to what we had last year, without the Janiah Broome being, you know, the unarguably number one player in NCAA.
Right.
We don't have that this year, but everybody else's performance is stepping up. We got that transfer in from Texas Tech that's scoring points. We got the UCF transfer that's scoring points. Todd Pettiford looks like Todd Pettiford did late last year, only a little better. Obviously, he should be because he's more mature, and now he's taking a leadership role on the team. And it's a well-coached team. The fans are super excited. You know, I'm super excited. I think everybody that's associated with Auburn University is excited about this. So we'll put that heartbreaking loss to Houston behind us and look forward to getting this ball rolling on basketball, see if we can keep the momentum like we did last year.
Yeah, I think when you look at the basketball team, if you were to have a positive outlook on a loss, if such a thing exists, it would be this loss to Houston, because I think as a team competitively, we haven't really seen anything from Auburn that has been disappointing. And what I mean by that is you're in a transformational period right now with a new head coach, even though he's Bruce Pearl incarnate, dare I say, you know, or Bruce Pearl adjacent. It's still a new head coach, new face at the helm. You got a lot of new talent coming in, transfer talent, younger talent. And when that's your story, we don't really know what to expect from you once the sneakers meet the hardwood. So when that is the position you're in, and you're still going toe-to-toe with a team like Houston, and you're taking care of business against the teams that are supposed to be smaller, supposed to be below your pay grade, like Jackson State, you're doing what's expected of you as a high-caliber program. So even with the loss, I can't walk away with any complaints.
Me neither, other than it was, you know, it was a loss.
Right, right.
Outside of that, actually, it was a one-point loss. It was 72-73. Auburn, in that loss to Houston, we still had three players that were in double-digit points. And Keyshawn Hall, who I just mentioned, sat out this last game because he rolled over on his ankle late in the game.
Right.
He had 20 points by himself. Mm-hmm. And he had 11 rebounds, so he had a double-double. So he's kind of the guy that's kind of stepping into that role that Janiah Broome had last year, you know, being the double-double guy, because, you know, if you remember right, last year, Janiah Broome, if he didn't have a double-double, something was wrong.
Right, it was a slow day.
It was a bad outing for him, even against the marquee talent. You know, he was still able to do a double-double. I mean, he was a shooter, and he was the big guy under the basket getting the rebounds. So it was nice to see that. And then in last night's game, we had five players in double-digit points. Mm-hmm. And not all of them had very much time on the court. So, you know, their efficiency in the shooting. The only thing that I was disappointed in, that I was still disappointed in after last night's game, was our free throw percentage. Well, we missed a lot of free throws in that Houston game.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were just barely over 50%, which is – that has to improve as the season goes, because you can't – you're not going to be successful midway or late in the season with a free throw percentage like that.
That was something that gave us trouble last year.
Yeah, it raised its ugly head periodically last year. It seemed to be cyclic. Mm. It was
you would have a good game and then a bad one.
Well, last year Chad Baker-Mazzara was just about unstoppable from the free throw line, and then late in the season he started missing a few. But I mean, what did he have? He had like 40 something consecutive free throws. We don't have that this year, and I'm not sure who's going to be the go-to guy on, you know, that you want to put in positions where people foul him so we can get some time at the line.
Right.
I don't know who that player is going to be. Tahad Pettiford's a pretty good free throw shooter, but you know, these other guys are all new, so we're going to kind of have to fill that out. It's kind of hard to do 5 games in.
Yeah. Especially against some of the talent that you face.
I think once we get maybe 10 to 12 games in, we'll have a real good idea who our foul shooters are and who our physical defenders are that aren't going. We're not going to worry too much about, you know, putting them in a position to foul out of the game.
Mm-hmm. That's what's fun about the start of this season. With everything being kind of new, we're seeing a lot of this team kind of piece itself together, and hopefully it results in something good. It seems like it has so far, but if you get into the meat of your schedule, especially once we get into SEC play, but if you go through the bulk of your non-con and then get into league play and you're well-established on who's going to be the free throws, who's going to be the defensive presence, who's going to be offensive, everyone has a role, and we see the team consistently win. It's fun to see a team kind of start from the ground up like Auburn kind of feels like they are this year.
Yeah, and it's almost the same scenario as last year, coming off a disappointing football season, going right into a really well-coached, you know, high-expectation basketball season.
So, last year, the two were night and day.
Yeah, but there's so, you know, this is a nice, pleasant distraction and something to look forward to. That's outside of all the turmoil that's going on with the football program now. So, you know, I'm excited about the basketball season. I'm looking forward to it. It's a typical basketball season. You know, it's a long, drawn out season. It's going to go all the way into the spring. So we got a lot to look forward to. We'll average 2 games a week. So gives us something to focus on. Back to the Auburn football program, you know, it's do or die these next 2 weeks. You know, we got to win these next 2 games just to be bowl eligible. That's mm-hmm. a tall order.
Yeah.
And we're going to cover that pretty close and pretty deep in the next couple segments.
We are, yes. Auburn in a very tumultuous moment right now when it comes to their football and basketball kind of clashing. Two very different stories. And with the football, yes, we've got an FCS team coming up, and then we've got the Iron Bowl. And the games are very different, but Mercer is absolutely not a pushover, and we'll get into the details of why they're not, to Bill's point, in just a few minutes. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola with a BN 1015. We'll go ahead and take that first quick break. This show brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse, Sandpiper Services, and DeWitt D. Clark, Attorney at Law.
DeWitt D. Clark is a licensed attorney that specializes in practice areas of real estate, business litigation, mortgage, lien foreclosures, probate litigation, and a lot more. DeWitt has been selected 3 times as a rising star by Super Lawyers, a distinction only 2.5% of all eligible attorneys receive, plus a member of the All Sports Association. Need legal advice? Contact DeWitt D. Clark, Attorney at Law, 850-863-4064, or dclark@asglegal.com.
I'm Steve Austin Worth, the owner of Sandpiper Services, a local handyman company ready to tackle your jobs. We've served many in the local area for over 10 years. Have projects like fixtures, electrical, or plumbing? No problem. Ceiling fans, sink, or bathtub installs? Sure. Plus painting, drywall, wood rot, even punch lists for real estate transactions. We specialize in in-and-out projects and won't tie up your home or your wallet. Trusted, local, insured, Sandpiper Services. Call me at 850-255-1110 or find us on Facebook.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-6759. don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. There is zero risk to you. If we can't reduce your tax debt, then you pay nothing. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have a 5-star rating on Google and Yelp and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-6759. That's 800-575-6759. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Escape to the Pony Gentlemen's Club at 500 East Gregory Street.
The Pony Gentlemen's Club.
Enjoy their extended happy hour and enticing drink specials from noon to 7, Monday through Saturday. The doors open at 7 p.m. on Sundays. Show a local event ticket for your complimentary entry and savor exclusive signature cocktails. Elevate your night, where sophistication meets indulgence. The Pony Gentlemen's Club.
Michelle Smallman here for Gainbridge and their give back program, Gainbridge Assist, powered by Parity. Gainbridge and Gainbridge Assist, powered by Parity's goal is to empower girls and women through sports and education, providing 32 organizations in 21 states $222 of grant funding during 2025. These grants aim to level the playing field and expand access to sports and education for girls and women across the country. Here's to a future with no limits for women's sports with Gainbridge and Gainbridge Assist, powered by Parity.
Ryan Radke here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Join Mike Golic and me every Sunday for a marquee primetime NFL matchup. Scott Graham gets things started with a pregame show from the studio with exclusive player interviews and the latest league news. Then from the stadium, Mike and I bring you the exclusive play-by-play call of the action. Join us every week for Sunday Night Football
on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Clinton Yates and a rotating group of guests give unique insights and perspectives on sports. It's Clinton and Friends, 10 until Rich Eisen on ESPN Pensacola.
Welcome back to War Eagle Weekly, every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., right here on ESPN Pensacola. This show brought to you by Sandpiper Services. That's a handyman company ready to tackle your projects, from plumbing or electrical to ceiling fan installs, sink or bathtub installs, painting, drywall, even punch lists for real estate deals, you name it. You can find them at Sandpiper Services on Facebook. They're trusted, local, and insured. Then we got DeWitt D. Clark, attorney at law, selected 3 times as a rising star, specializing in areas of real estate, business litigation, mortgage and foreclosures, probate litigation, and more. And Coach and Fort Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road, right across the street from Five Flags Speedway. You can wear your football gear in on game day Saturdays, any team, and get 10% off, or Auburn fans can come in with their gear on any day of the week and get that same 10% discount. And Bill, Coach Four Steakhouse is doing something for this holiday season, are they not?
Absolutely. Right now they're taking reservations for businesses or groups or organizations, Christmas parties. So if you want to have a Christmas party there, reach out to them and give them a call, see what's available. Go ahead and make your reservations. Mm-hmm. You're going to reach out to either Rachel or Bill, and just look up Coaching Four Steakhouse. It's the only location in Pensacola. It's easy to find on Google, and give them a call and tell them you heard about it here.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much to our sponsors making this show every week possible. Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you as always. And Bill, when we left off, we were talking about the basketball season and looking ahead to a couple of these football games coming up as we're getting down to the final stretch of Auburn Tigers football for 2025. And it's starting with Mercer. Mercer's an FCS school, so they're supposed to be kind of a prep game, a rest game, so to speak, some would say. But Mercer's not really a pushover this year, not from what we've seen.
No, they're a one-loss team. Mm-hmm. Which means they have athletes. It also means they're well coached.
Yes.
So it's not like you know, picking up I can't remember the last time we had a real, you know, legit pushover this late in the season. Mm. You know, we thought New Mexico State was a pushover a couple of years ago, and Diego Pavia proved us wrong. But you know, we got to take this, and I think DJ is doing it. We're taking this this game serious.
Right.
Coming off a bye week, so you get the extra practice. You get the kids that are a little banged up healthy. What we saw in the last game, even though it was a loss, the defense bent a little too much, which allowed them to score a lot of points, but our offense lit the stadium on fire.
It right.
was that was the most offensive production I've seen out of the entire team for the whole year, including the Baylor game, which I thought was a pretty well balanced game. We've got a great rushing attack. Cobb is well on his way to being a 1,000-yard rusher this year. The quarterback looked poised, improved, confident,
mm-hmm.
Understood what he was supposed to do, understood the play calling.
Ashton Daniels also a dual threat.
Understood what he was looking at defensively on the field and took advantage of it. And, of course, you know, the freakish athlete that Cam Coleman is, you know, he made that one, you know, ESPN highlight touchdown reception that even – live, it escaped you because it happened so fast. You know, they had to slow it down and show you how it happened. But that's the second time this year he's made that kind of catch in the corner of the end zone like that. So, you know, we're putting the ball in the position for the big skilled players to make a move on it, and they're doing it. Eric Singleton, is, you know, the reason we picked him up out of Georgia Tech and brought him in was because he's not only just a great athlete and a great receiver. He's able to time his leaps and take that 50-50 ball and make it more of a 70-30 ball in his favor. That's the difference maker that he is, and he proved that in the game too. He high pointed a couple of catches that were, you know, an average receiver wouldn't have been able to reach it. It would have been just off the fingertips, but he snatched it right out of the air. So. I'm looking – they've already said that they're not going to start Ashton Daniels.
Really, they won't.
And I understand why. They're preserving his red shirt. What that tells me is they intend to have him be our starting quarterback next year, or him and Deuce fighting out for the starting job next year.
Right.
Don't know what that means. I'm assuming Jackson Arnold has no more eligibility. So there was nothing to preserve there. I look for this game, and they really haven't announced who the starting quarterback is going to be. At least there's enough doubt floating around about it. I'm not sure they're going to start Deuce because I don't see any benefit doing that. You know, put Jackson Arnold back out there and open the game plan up a little bit for him like you did for Daniels.
Right.
And if he doesn't perform, then definitely swap him out. Put Deuce in there. We have nothing to lose by doing that.
And you've got some room for error here with Mercer being such a mismatch for y'all on paper. Your roster is obviously far above theirs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we toe-to-toe, we have better athletes. We have bigger size. We have definitely a higher level of skill players. So our ceiling and our basement and our ceiling both are higher than them. So – we would literally have to play in our basement, and them have to play in their rafters for it to be, you know, a single, you know, for the game to be in doubt late.
Right.
So I look for this game to be an opportunity to showcase some of the things that we might want to pull out of our the proverbial rabbit's hat for the Alabama game.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't need to be looking past Mercer either, because with that 9-1 record, you know, they've proven that they're capable of playing football.
Yeah,
you just this does not need to be Auburn's Appalachian State game.
Yeah. Don't let this be a 2007 Michigan situation. I will say, if an FCS team were to ever beat you, it would be a team like Mercer. Their offense is very sound. And when I say it's good, I don't just mean, oh, they put up a couple points. No, listen to this. This Mercer team has put up 49 points or more in each of their last four games, and I think they've broken 60 in that stretch a couple times. So especially lately, their offense has really turned it on. So we could see this team come out with some trickery early to try to stay in the game and really set the tone in the first quarter or maybe early in the second. But it is going to be difficult to go toe-to-toe with an Auburn defense that has been able to contain the best of the SEC for four quarters, in Jordan-Hare, no less. Mercer could potentially do it, but yeah, realistically, if Auburn does half as well on defense as they've done in some of these other games, this one should be darn near lights out.
It should be. But Auburn, like I said, Auburn did bend and broke occasionally defensively this last game. That's Vandy was the only team that scored more than 24 points on Auburn's defense.
That's phenomenal.
And with Mercer putting up 40-plus points on their opposition the last three games, there's your matchup. Is their offense going to be able to handle Auburn's defense? And Auburn's defense, we need to bring a better A game than what we had in the previous game. If Auburn's defense performs like they have been for the vast majority of the season, then I don't see this being in question at all. There's some really cool, you know, defensive statistics with Auburn.
Yeah.
Especially Xavier Atkins. Going into this game, Xavier Atkins is plus 78 solo tackles, 15 and a half tackles for loss, 7.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 1 fumble recovery, and 1 interception.
He does it all
just by himself. And you and I talked about it in the pregame or warm up to this show or in the break that he is the Cam Coleman. He's the freak athlete on the defense.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that just happened. You know, he's always around the football. Him and Keldrick Falk both, but Xavier has stepped up, and he was an acquisition that we picked up in the portal from LSU.
Yes,
and I'm sure LSU's probably, you know, like
regretting,
especially
that.
with all the injuries and stuff that's happened to them on their defense. They're probably thinking, well, maybe we should have tried a little harder to keep Xavier.
Yeah,
Atkins.
Think of how good our defense could be if we had him still.
Yeah, even if he didn't perform at that level, he would have still made an impact. But he has stepped up and just dominated at the line. He is the guy that is in their backfield and being the disruptor.
And I don't think it's being insulting or being messy to say that it's a guy like him that Mercer has not faced once this year.
Oh no, I'm sure they've never seen anybody on the defensive line that's anything like him.
Right.
And even though he's technically a linebacker, he especially in a blitz package, he ends up on the end. So him and Keldrick Falk are bookends on the defense.
Right.
Or if he is lined up in the linebacker position, if Auburn defense, if they read that it's going to be an RPO or a run play, you'll see him creeping up to the line, and he ends up filling that hole or ends up in their backfield disrupting the play. And it's gonna come down to how well Mercer's offensive line plays against Auburn's defense. I think that's going to be for the Mercer crowd, that's going to be the difference maker in the game for them.
Mm-hmm.
For us, if our defense just plays an average pedestrian defensive game like that is mediocre and representative of the whole year as a whole, not against Vandy, but the rest of the season,
mm-hmm.
holding opponents to 24 points or less, then it's going to be how well are we going to be able to open up the offense? Are we going to be able to do it the same way we did in the previous game? We're going to be able to get the ball to the receivers, go deep a few times, let Cobb churn out, you know, 70, 80, 90, even 100 yards on the ground, which means he's going to have to carry the ball about 20 to 25 times.
Right.
And whether it's Jackson Arnold or Deuce Knight, you know, they're going to have some production, not just through the air, but with their feet. So that's kind of the way I'm looking at this game. And what DJ Durkin has already and Coach Nix have already done and shown what they can do offensively, the change in the mindset after Hugh Freeze was fired, it's a completely different look to the offense than what we've been seeing all year long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice because it's productive, and it's what we were expecting at the beginning of the year. So,
right.
I'm looking at this game, well, the next two games, to be a more productive offensive effort from Auburn.
Yeah, your defensive and offensive efforts are really hitting their peak at the right time. We knew what the defense could do, even if it had a bad game recently. But the offense really being able to keep up with Vandy and the likes of Diego Pavia is objectively impressive. And I think we already kind of got a vibe. Obviously, we'll save our score predictions officially for the end of the hour, like always. But I think we already got a vibe of how this game's going to go. Just last week with Kentucky and Tennessee Tech, I really wanted to believe that Tennessee Tech could put up a fight there, and they didn't. You know, it looked like, okay, they're keeping the game maybe a little close in the first half, and then it just got way out of hand in the second especially. And I think it could be a situation like that. I'll also say this. If you do, God forbid, lose to Mercer, I would put my house on you beating Alabama in the Iron Bowl. I think if you lose to Mercer, that's just going to have Alabama overlooking you. That's going to have you. That's going to tell us that you're circling that Iron Bowl that much. And that's going to be your last hoorah. I think if you lose to Mercer, you're beating Alabama. I am putting everything on that.
Yeah. Well, the reality is, you know, we talked about 5 or 6 weeks ago what it was going to take for Auburn to come to become bowl eligible. Well, the wheels have come off, and we literally have to win these last two games to be bowl eligible.
We knew you were going to have to get a big win. Bama's that big win in question.
It's we weren't expecting it to come down to the Iron Bowl, but it literally is going to come down to the Iron Bowl. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about that. I mean, we'll have all of next week to talk about that. We could probably do 3 hours and never cover everything I would like to cover about an Auburn-Alabama game. But, you know, we can't look past Mercer. You know, like we said, they're 9-1, and they're having the kind of season they're having for a reason, because they have athletes that are performing at the FBS level, and they're able to score points, mm-hmm. 49 or 40-plus points in the last three games. I mean, that tells me they have an explosive offense.
It's not elite.
For them in their class, they are at the pinnacle offensively. But I'm sure they've never played a defense so far this season that's anything like Auburn. So that's where the iron is going to be struck, mm-hmm. is at the line of scrimmage between their offensive line and our defense.
Mercer's coming into this one wiser. Last year they had a good season, and I think they played Alabama at around this time in the year, and Alabama didn't wince with them. I don't expect Auburn to either, at least by the time the clocks hit all zeros. Just about 10:35 here. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. When we come back, we're just going to touch on a few things real quick that are going on in college football right now, particularly with Texas in the college football playoff poll. Also wanted to talk about the Iron Bowl on a surface level because we learned the kickoff time for that game, and that's very significant. We'll touch on that before we get into some of our SEC predictions. But once again, that's coming up in just a few minutes right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle Weekly is brought to you by DeWitt D. Clark, Attorney at Law, Sandpiper Services, and Coach and Four Steakhouse.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. We're a third-generation restaurant dedicated to providing authentic Western-style steakhouse fare and heartfelt hospitality. Whether craving a cooked-to-perfection steak, fresh seafood, or a classic cocktail, every bite tells a story of tradition, passion, and dedication. And football fans, come in game day Saturdays in your gear and receive 10% off. Auburn fans, wear your gear any day and get 10% off. Coach and Four Steakhouse, open Wednesday through Saturdays at 7445 Pine Forest Road, across the street from Five Flags Speedway.
DeWitt D. Clark is a licensed attorney that specializes in practice areas of real estate, business litigation, mortgage, lien foreclosures, probate litigation, and a lot more. DeWitt has been selected 3 times as a rising star by Super Lawyers, a distinction only 2.5% of all eligible attorneys receive, plus a member of the All Sports Association. Need legal advice? Contact DeWitt D. Clark, Attorney at Law, 850-863-4064, or dclark@asglegal.com.
Bamboo Willie's on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk is the place to go this fall to watch your favorite teams. With 15 TVs featuring NFL Ticket, SEC, Big Ten, ESPN Plus, Prime, and NBC Peacock for viewing. Draft beer specials and football with a view at Pensacola Beach. It's all at Bamboo Willie's, located on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk, and you can find them online at BambooWillies.com. The party never stops at Bamboo Willie's.
The Big Bamboo!
Harry Douglas here. Look, being a man doesn't mean skipping self-care. Manscaped makes it easy to feel confident, clean, and ready for anything. Whether you're at work, hitting the gym, traveling for business, or heading for a night out, the Lawnmower Trimmer gives you precision, the Beard Hedger keeps your look tight, and their grooming essentials smell incredible. Manscaped's tools are built to perform, helping you stay sharp, smooth, and feeling your best every single day. Because real confidence starts with a clean cut and the right gear. Get all the Manscaped products you need right now at your local Target.
Overheard at the Hard Rock Bet Party.
It's Thursday. New Hard Rock Bet rewards are dropping.
Nice. Ed Reed, you in?
The only thing I drop is receivers and mics.
Ed, we're talking bonus bets, deposit matches, parlay insurance.
Oh, okay. I'll do that kind of drop.
Hard Rock Bet Sportsbook. Roll with us. New players bet $5 in bonus bets if you win. Payable in bonus bets. Not a cash offer. Offered by Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida. Wager. Terms and conditions apply. If or someone you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-833-PLAY-WISE.
Empower. Tim collects bobbleheads. A lot of bobbleheads. Baseball bobbleheads. Race car bobbleheads. Little Chihuahua bobbleheads. He's got an entire room strictly for bobbleheads. Does he need them? No. Is his wife mad about it? A little. But Tim works with Empower, and he got good at money, so he can be a little bad. Ooh, horse bobblehead. Classy, Tim. Empower. Well, live a little. Start today at empower.com.
Share your thoughts about sports
and actually have a voice
with the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass. Mornings from 9 until Clinton and Friends on ESPN Pensacola.
1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Coach and Ford Steakhouse, DeWitt D. Clark, attorney at law, and Sandpiper Services. Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you as always. And Bill, want to touch on some of these subject matters floating around college football right now, because there are some hard-hitting ones. We're going to lead with the Auburn coaching search. You were telling me before we went live this morning that there's a few names that are kind of floating around. There's been several, of course, but we've narrowed it down to a few favorites. I know one is John Summerall, and we've also been hearing some buzz about Kenny Dillingham and the guy who's at the interim spot right now, DJ Durkin, right?
Yeah, from every resource that I pay attention to that I consider to be reliable, it's pretty much come down to those three: DJ Durkin, Summerall, and Dillingham. There was some chatter on Facebook and other social media about Lane Kiffin being talked to and interviewed for the Auburn job. I just considered that clickbait.
That's wishful thinking.
Yeah. And when I did start looking into, okay, are they at least talking to him? Is he communicating with Auburn? And the deeper you got into it, you figured out the reality is there's probably 10 or 15 teams that are talking to him.
Exactly.
Is he negotiating back? And I really don't think Auburn's at the top of his list.
Nah.
Considering the jobs that are available in the SEC, if he were to leave Ole Miss, I would put him at either LSU. It would pretty much be LSU. I think that maybe Florida.
I know Florida was a favorite for the longest time until LSU threw their hat in the ring. So when you look at teams like that, it is a matter of the coaching search is getting too deep around Lane in the conference alone. That's why Auburn, I think, would be one that would get lost in the crowd, because they're just one that is like, oh, yeah, they're a destination too, but they haven't been hyped like LSU or especially Florida.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it all depends on how happy he is there at Ole Miss, you know,
right.
and what kind of retention package are they considering to keep him at Ole Miss?
Right.
I don't see any reason why he would even want to leave Ole Miss right now. I mean, he's built that program into what he wanted it to be when they hired him to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you leave it? because they're playing at a pretty high level.
And the standard there is all the more forgiving than a place like LSU or Florida. Those guys, their standard is champion. Ole Miss, they've won 10 games in a season for the third year in a row, and that's like the first time they've ever done that. So that tells you where their standard lies historically. They're a good program at times. They're nowhere near a blue blood.
Yeah, it's what does he gain by leaving Ole Miss and going to an Auburn or an Arkansas? LSU is the only team to me that makes sense outside of where he's at now. But, you know, the LSU fans, I love the LSU fans, married into an LSU family. I understand it. You know, they're just as passionate about their football as any Auburn or Alabama fan I know. But, man, they turned on Brian pretty quick. It didn't take very long for them to get very
sick of him,
upset with what was going on, right or wrong. And we've had that discussion pretty much all this football season about I'm not a big fan of cutting your coach loose in the middle of the season.
Right.
I was not a fan of Auburn doing it. But now that the wheels are in motion and the coach carousel is in full swing and there's plenty of job opportunities out there now and available coaches out there now, now you got to reach out and snatch up the one that you want as quick as you can because you don't know if he's still going to be available next week. But that's why DJ Durkin, obviously, he's there. So it's not a problem trying to lure him to the university.
He's a safe candidate.
He's there. He knows what it's going to mean to stay at Auburn and be the head coach. And he's got head coaching experience. John Summerall, I've been talking about him for 2 weeks now, that he makes total sense as a hire at Auburn. He's the kind of guy, the way he coaches and the way he interacts with the kids and the demographics of recruiting in this area, he brings all that to the table. None of that's going to be a surprise for him.
Right.
Dillingham makes sense too, but the only thing is, you know, he doesn't have that touchstone in the SEC that gives him an edge over anybody else, and especially in the recruiting arena. You know, Summerall, the reason he makes so much sense for Auburn is because his wife's an Auburn grad and he's coached and recruited in this environment. So
yeah, he's got the culture down pat.
He knows it's not tepid waters for him. You know, he's already dipped his toe in that water, so he knows what it's in. But, you know, it could very easily be DJ Durkin. There could be somebody that Cohen is talking to, John Cohen's the athletic director. Cohen could be in negotiations with somebody we're not even talking about.
Yeah.
But we already know Franklin's off the table because he's going to Va-Tech.
Yeah, and that's a great hire for them. Va-Tech reminds me a lot of Penn State as far as great home environment. Their fan base is no less loyal. And with the state of the ACC right now, there's only a few programs that should be consistently better than Va-Tech anyway, and none of them are contenders today. In my opinion, yes, I'm including Miami in that.
Yeah, well, there's another name that's I haven't heard anybody talk about in the last couple of weeks, and it's still on my list, but he's not left the program that he's at yet.
Who?
And that is Dabo Swinney.
Yeah.
You know, he's I'm not sure how short the leash is or how hot the seat is that he's in.
I think if he has another bad season, they'd maybe say, okay, well, Swinney, what's up?
You know, this might be one of those where, you know, it's okay, we're having a bad season. Don't fire him in the middle of the season. Go, ride it out. But at the end of the season, we're cutting him loose.
Maybe.
And it would make – he would make sense at Auburn. To me, he would make a lot of sense at Auburn.
And it would add I think we've mentioned this before, but it would add a lot of implications to the Iron Bowl as well with him being an Alabama product. And, you know, I do want to – I want to shift to that real quick because I'm keeping track of the clock here as well. I mentioned added implications for the Iron Bowl with it being announced that this is going to be a primetime game. And historically, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, doesn't Auburn own Alabama in primetime games? They're like 4-1 against them all time at Jordan-Hare, right?
Yeah, the record for night games at Jordan-Hare is 4-1. It's just a better environment. I mean, Auburn at night is a unique place. Mm-hmm. It rivals Death Valley as far as noise and excitement, and you know, the nice thing about having a night game like that, and especially with it being the Iron Bowl, is you can get out there and start tailgating at 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning and have a wonderful time, and then you still have the game to look forward to, you know. So it's going to be a carnival-like atmosphere on the campus.
Right.
But that's what you want because, you know, the kids are engaged, the fan base is engaged, the Alumni Association is engaged. With it being primetime at night, you know, it will be the game that everybody's going to be paying attention to because of the playoff implications for Alabama.
It's make or break now.
So it means more. And I know that's a catchphrase that the SEC is using this year. It means more, but it really does. It means more. The Auburn-Alabama game means everything to Auburn and Alabama fans.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what your season is. The Iron Bowl is the equalizer between the Auburn fan base and the Alabama fan base. One fan base spends the year miserable. The other fan base spends the year on cloud nine. So this is and the fact that they're doing it as a night game, I love it. A home game at night at Auburn in the Iron Bowl, it's perfect. It's the perfect way to end this season and hopefully give us an opportunity to become bowl eligible.
Perfect way to end the season. I'm sure on Roll Tide Radio tomorrow I'll ask about that, and I'll see what the Alabama approach is. I'm sure they think differently. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you. We'll look at some of these SEC games here very quickly. A lot of them, and this is what the SEC has been getting hate for. Cupcake week is what they call it, because we got Texas A&M playing a one-win Samford. We got Georgia and Charlotte. We got Alabama playing a terrible Eastern Illinois. We've got teams like that. So we're not going to even bother touching on those games since we're short on time here. We're just going to look at some of the bigger games going on throughout the conference, and then we'll take our break. So we got number 22, Missouri. They hopped back into the rankings, but they haven't really beaten anyone in the SEC brass. They go to Oklahoma. Safe to say Oklahoma has. They just took care of Alabama and Tuscaloosa. Do you think Missouri, as a Big Eight rival from back in the day, catches OU in the clouds here in Norman this weekend?
If this is catch them when they're not focused, this is the game to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And Missouri has a great football team.
They do.
They have nothing to be ashamed of. So, man, this is almost, for me, a pick 'em.
Really?
Yeah.
Like up in the air?
Yeah. It's, you know, Missouri has everything to win for. Oklahoma has everything to lose. Coming off a big victory on Alabama, this could be the letdown. You don't want it to be, but it could be. Mm. But I'm still a firm believer that up and down the conference, Oklahoma has the best defense. Auburn has the second best defense.
And I don't think that's a hot take. I think OU, especially in Norman, could be too much for Mizzou in that regard. I can't give Mizzou credit, quite frankly, for something I haven't seen. And what did I lead with? I have not seen Mizzou beat a big-name SEC opponent. I don't think they do it this week. I'd love to be proven wrong, but I don't think we see it this week. So I'm going with OU there, but you think it'll be a tight one?
I think it'll be a single-score game, yep.
All right. And then we got Kentucky at Vanderbilt. We'll touch on this one because it's a conference game. Kentucky fighting to go bowling. They started to catch some steam, beating Auburn and Jordan-Hare, crushing Florida after that. Do they go into Vandy and beat a top 15 Commodore squad, though? That's a bit of a leap.
No, they don't. Not with Diego Pavia at the helm. He is, like I've said in a couple of previous episodes, he is the Johnny Manziel of the SEC this year. He is the guy that just... You think you got him, and he squirms his way out and makes a big play happen. Mm-hmm. He makes everybody around him play better. And with this being at Vandy, no, they're not going to beat Vanderbilt.
I'm right there with you. And then Texas, this is a team that the committee has basically told us, after 35-10, we're dropping you to 17th in the rankings. You are not going to the playoff unless a miracle happens, and I think that's fair treatment of the Longhorns. They're at home. I think they're aware of how they've been treated by the committee this week. They're hosting Arkansas. Arkansas brings the heat for rivalry games, and they're running out of chances to get a conference win. Do they do so in Austin?
I think they're going to win this game.
Arkansas?
No, Texas. I think Texas is going to win this game, and we've talked about them before being very cyclic, and it's because of the production or lack of production of their quarterback, you know,
right.
who has lived up to his hype in some games and not so much in others. I think Texas is going to win this game, and then they're going to be the second loudest Alabama cheerleading fan base you've ever heard come into the season.
Mm.
Because they're going to be cheering. I'm sorry, they're going to be cheering for Auburn.
Yeah, trying to get some chaos above them. Yeah. I knew what you meant.
They'll be the second loudest fan base cheering for Alabama to lose in the Iron Bowl.
Mm. Well, yeah, I said they would need a miracle, and Auburn winning the Iron Bowl.
That's what they're going to have.
Auburn winning the Iron Bowl wouldn't do all of it, but it would do part of that. So Texas, I think you're absolutely right on them. They win, and they cheer for Auburn. Then we got number 20, Tennessee at Florida. I'm going to end this segment on a bang here. I'm saying Florida wins at home. They're long overdue for a big win. Tennessee hasn't beaten anyone of prowess, and a lot of people think they shouldn't even be ranked anyway. They go into Gainesville. Give me the Gators.
I'm with you there. As long as Florida plays the way they did against Ole Miss all the way up until the last 8-9 minutes of the game.
You got to play a complete game.
If they can play that way for the whole of the game, then home field advantage definitely means something here. And I think they have the athletes and they have the firepower to do it. And the big advantage for them is it being in Gainesville.
That is huge. So Florida, we're giving you the chance to get a win, but you've got to do some of it yourself, all right? 10:53, we'll take one last quick break. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. We'll be back in just a few minutes with, we'll see if there's any hard-hitting national games going on outside of the SEC, but then, of course, we'll always give our predictions on Auburn every week. Well, we're going to do that this time with Mercer, and I think we're both in agreement on that game as well. That coming up in just a few minutes right here on ESPN Pensacola.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. We're a third-generation restaurant dedicated to providing authentic Western-style steakhouse fare and heartfelt hospitality. Whether craving a cooked-to-perfection steak, fresh seafood, or a classic cocktail, every bite tells a story of tradition, passion, and dedication. And football fans, come in game day Saturdays in your gear and receive 10% off. Auburn fans, wear your gear any day and get 10% off. Coach and Four Steakhouse, open Wednesday through Saturdays at 7445 Pine Forest Road, across the street from Five Flags Speedway.
I'm Steve Austin Worth, the owner of Sandpiper Services, a local handyman company ready to tackle your jobs. We've served many in the local area for over 10 years. Have projects like fixtures, electrical, or plumbing? No problem. Ceiling fans, sink, or bathtub installs? Sure. Plus painting, drywall, wood rot, even punch lists for real estate transactions. We specialize in in-and-out projects and won't tie up your home or your wallet. Trusted, local, insured, Sandpiper Services. Call me at 850-255-1110 or find us on Facebook.
Jimmy, the Mercedes is making a strange noise.
Mr. Fix-It!
Did you just tell me to fix it?
No, I said take it to Mr. Fix-It Auto Clinic. They specialize in all the luxury imports and domestic cars. They've got the latest technologies and the equipment to fix our car. And they have the lowest prices in town.
They're on North Palafox, right?
4701 North Palafox in Pensacola, just north of the Pace-Palafox split.
With fully certified technicians and a nationwide warranty on parts and labor, it's Mr. Fix-It Auto Clinic, where one call does it all. 850-741-4274.
Love and Mood has everything you need to score big with that special someone in your life. From lotions and potions to exotic lingerie and adult novelties, all at affordable prices. Visit Love and Mood Lingerie at 5104 North W Street, two blocks south of Brent Lane, next to Chasers. Store hours are Monday through Thursday, 10 to 8, Friday and Saturday, 10 to 10, and Sunday, 12 to 6. Online at loveandmood.com.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Clinton Yates here. The holidays are upon us, and so are the savings at Total Wine & More. Discover thousands of wines, spirits, and beers, like my favorite, IPAs, perfect for every celebration and every budget. From bold reds to sparklers, you'll find the perfect wines to raise a glass this season. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find only at Total Wine & More. Curbside pickup and delivery available in most areas. See TotalWine.com for details. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. Be 21.
Monday night, Thursday night, Sunday night.
Green 18!
This is your home for every primetime NFL game. ESPN Pensacola.
You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Coach and Ford Steakhouse, DeWitt D. Clark, Attorney at Law, and Sandpiper Services. Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you as always. And Bill, just going to do a quick pick'em here between Oregon and USC. That's really the only game outside of the SEC on the national scale that's really headlining this week of college football. It's a rather timid week. Number 15 USC at number 7 Oregon, to be exact. Former Pac-12 matchup, Big Ten matchup. USC's on the outside looking in, thinking, hey, could we make the bracket? Seems like the committee's keeping them at arm's reach. Oregon, high-ranking team, but kind of unproven when it comes to some of their biggest opposition. Does USC get it done in Autzen?
They're going to have to if they want to even be considered in the playoff talk.
Right.
So for them, this is a do-or-die kind of game. I expect them to throw the kitchen sink. But with it being a home game at Oregon, that's a tall order.
Right.
Oregon just is one of those teams that even like this year where they're kind of pedestrian, they're not quite the team they were that went, you know, toe-to-toe against Auburn in 2010. With the elite level of athletes that they have or normally have, this is a more pedestrian Oregon team, but they're still a formidable team. And especially right. with it being at home, I got to give the edge to Oregon, even if it's just a three-point edge. It's the home field advantage here is going to make the difference.
I'm taking Oregon, and I'm taking them to cover. They're favored by 10.5. I got them by around 13 or so. They take care of business because Oregon hasn't convinced me of much, but USC's only convinced me of less with how they've done at times this season. And with it being in Eugene, I'll take the Ducks. And then we got Auburn and Mercer. Of course, we always end the hour with our Auburn predictions. I'm taking Auburn 52-10. You spread your wings a bit before the Iron Bowl, you know, show off what you got. Since Mercer's been doing well, I'll give him 10 points on your defense.
I like that.
You're welcome,
I like,
Mercer.
Yeah, thank you. I like that spread. I was thinking more of like 48-3.
Ooh, so you don't even have Mercer hitting the end zone on y'all, huh?
No, I see them maybe having one series where they get a couple of explosive plays and get in the red zone make it look like they're getting ready to score and then have to settle for a field goal and then the clamps just get pinched.
Either way, it's all Tigers. The Bears don't stand a chance, and we already knew that was coming. You've been listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Next week, we'll see you on Thanksgiving morning as we're looking ahead to the one, the only Iron Bowl. War Eagle.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.